How do you do? Some people reject marriage on the ground that it'll destroy a beautiful friendship. Cynical? Well, maybe, but it may contain a grain of truth for some. We want you to meet a young woman who discovered that it was true for her. And then, painfully, she learned the problem is not with marriage, but with those who marry. The result has been happiness for her, and the ability to help others find similar happiness, since her heart and mind and life, as well as her marriage, have been unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true life stories of real people. These programs, which began on one station in 1950, have been reaching out around the earth ever since and are now heard in almost every nation, with the help of some who listen, want others to hear. Pacific Garden Mission opened in 1877, and so has become a Chicago landmark through well over a century of giving help to the homeless. Help includes food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. Counselors, having dealt with material needs, turn to even greater spiritual ones, knowing that we do not live by bread alone, and that the greatest need is not for mere relief, but for regeneration. Now Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. People who don't know much about the Bible often quote pithy one-liners and follow them with, "That's what the Bible says." Heaven helps those who help themselves. Charity begins at home. But you can search Holy Writ from end to end, and you won't find either one. And then there's marriages are made in heaven. Well, blame that one on Lord Tennyson, not on the Bible. God knows better. And so do people who have learned the hard way that many marriages are definitely not made in heaven. We'll touch on this and much more besides as we bring you the true story of a girl named Karen, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in New York City in a community that can certainly be described as ethnic. That doesn't mean it was a slum, anything but. Everyone our family knew was very self-sufficient and very comfortable. Everybody had it together. Children were petted and pampered and were expected to do well in school. Boys were expected to grow up into the professions and then to marry the girls, always within their own group. Although the community had a certain religious identity, I was taught very little about the Bible. When I asked my mother about God, she gave me a very convenient answer, but it didn't tell me much.
What is God like, Karen? Why, God is in your heart. Now run along and play. Mama's friends are coming in this afternoon to play Mahjong.
God is in your heart. Not a very comfortable place, because in my heart I was a liar. I think the lies were probably designed to enhance my appearance of being important. Here's an example. When I was 8, one of my girlfriends wanted to own a dog. To make myself important, I said that my cousin's dog had just given birth to a litter of pups. Well, that lie grew in importance for several weeks, while the imaginary dogs grew to an age when they could be weaned. My girlfriend and her family were completely taken in. They even bought a collar and leash. Then I had to confess the whole miserable business to my family. My mother stepped into the situation and solved my problem.
Well, hello. Yeah, this is Barbara. Yeah, that's why I'm calling. Yeah, Karen told me she promised one of the pups to Sandra, but I'm afraid she spoke too soon. Well, we didn't know until just today that she'd promised, and well, all the dogs have been sold. Oh, yeah, well, it really is too bad. You know how children are. No, I don't believe they plan on any more litters. Yeah, they are a lot of trouble. Maybe you're in luck. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye. No problem, Karen. I think she was almost glad about it.
No problem, no recriminations. No one rebuked me for telling a lie. That was one of the easy ones. Sometimes I had a very tough time getting out of the tangled webs that I wove with my lies. And I even think that I really wanted to be punished for them. But that never happened. I got good grades in school because it was expected of me and because it made me feel more important, but it wasn't easy. To do well in school, I had to put in long hours at homework. Because I was an A student, I was double promoted and so went into high school younger than my classmates. The hours of homework grew longer.
How late did you study last night, Karen?
Oh, 1 o'clock maybe.
So late?
Well, we had a quiz coming up today.
Oh, you kids. I was talking to Mrs. Green today. She says Edith studies 4 hours every night.
Mom, you didn't tell Mrs. Green about the hours I study.
Oh, I might have bragged a little.
Brag?
But what's wrong with working hard for good grades?
Everything. Just everything.
Oh, I don't understand.
Well, the other A students don't have to work hard. It just comes to them without any trouble.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Well, it's true. I don't want them to know I'm so slow that I have to sit up half the night to keep up with them. And Mrs. Green said that Edith stays up late to study?
That's right.
Oh, that Edith. To hear her tell it, all she ever does in the evening is watch television. Because I was so young, I guess, none of the high school sororities rushed me. That made me feel invisible, so I pushed myself all I could. 6 months later, I was pledged. When prom time came, I had a new problem.
I saw Tobe and her mother today. They were shopping for a dress for the prom.
Yeah?
How is it you haven't been asking for a dress?
I don't need one.
You're going to the prom in blue jeans?
No, Mother. I'm not going to the prom at all.
Not going to the prom? Why not?
Because I don't want to, that's why.
You mean because no boy has invited you?
No, I don't mean that. I've had 3 invitations.
So, which one will you choose?
None of them.
Why not?
Because all 3 are creeps.
Creeps?
Well, no. 2 of them are kind of cute, but they're nobodies. I mean, they're just not a part of the in-group.
Was that so important?
It's very important. If I can't go with somebody who matters, I'd rather just not go at all. The next big crisis came when I graduated from high school. I was going to college, of course. It was expected. But I had trouble with the college board exams, while some of the other girls I knew breezed right through them.
Well, Karen, I've been accepted.
Oh, what school?
Well, I could have chosen Vassar or Wellesley, of course, but I finally decided on Smith.
Oh, why Smith?
Everybody talks about Vassar, but I think Smith has a certain distinction.
Oh, I suppose so.
Have you decided?
Not for sure, but I think I'll probably go to the University at Buffalo.
Well, that's different. What on earth for?
You said it. It's different.
Are you sure that's what you want?
I think so.
Well, different strokes. Be sure to write and tell me about it.
It was the last half of the turbulent 60s, the time of intense campus rebellion. When I discovered that the activists were the in crowd, I joined them.
Well, today's the big day, Karen. Put on your best fighting clothes.
Like what?
Jeans, of course, and some kind of a jacket. When the pigs grab you by the feet and drag you into a patrol wagon, you'll be glad you wore that kind of clothes.
You really think there's going to be that much trouble?
I know it. If the police don't act rough enough, we'll bait them until they do. The name of the game is overreaction. What we need on this campus is plenty of police brutality to wake up the people who don't realize how bad conditions are.
Student activism. I hated the whole thing, but I was careful to conceal how I felt. I made the most of the whole thing, though, by writing to my friends at other schools. I lied in my letters, of course. My stories of being brutalized by the police may have impressed my friends, but when they got back to my mother, she was upset about it. Hello?
Karen, honey? Have you been badly hurt?
What are you talking about?
Well, Catherine's mother called and told me about what you said in your letter to Catherine.
Oh, that.
What do you mean, oh, that? Have you seen a doctor?
No, I don't need a doctor.
But if you've been treated as roughly as all that, you ought to have a checkup. There might be a concussion or even a broken bone.
Mother, it really wasn't that bad. I'm fine.
But Catherine told her mother you were beaten up.
Don't worry about it. You know how Catherine exaggerates. Of course, the exaggeration was all on my part, still trying to make an impression. During that same time, I was introduced to marijuana. To me, it was frightening because it caused me to lose control. I was afraid that while I was high, I might reveal my real self, and that would have been terrible. So when the sticks were passed around, I pretended to inhale, but was careful not to. During the 4 years at the university, I never eased up on my old study habits. As a result, I graduated Phi Beta Kappa. My parents were pleased, of course.
Well, now what, Karen? I suppose you want to go on and work for your masters?
Well, of course.
In what?
Oh, one of my friends has been talking to me about work with brain-damaged children.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, depressing, maybe. Where?
To go to school. I think it'll be Northwestern.
So far? Can't you do your work in the East?
Oh, maybe, but I've never been West. Chicago might be interesting.
Well, I'm sure you can find nice people, even there.
Mother wanted me to meet nice people, so what did I do? Maybe it was my roommate's idea.
You know what's wrong with this place? We don't meet enough interesting guys.
You know, I've been thinking the same thing, but I don't know what to do about it.
I do.
What?
We're both nice looking. If we were to go down to Rush Street and make the bar scene, we'd be sure to get results.
Trouble too, maybe.
What trouble? We're big girls. We can look out for ourselves. What about it?
I say, let's go.
We could have two bar stools together if that guy would move over one.
Well, let's move in and maybe you'll get the idea.
What am I doing? Hogging all the space at the bar. Here, make yourselves at home.
Oh, thank you. You're a thoughtful person.
Well, I may not be thoughtful, but I'm thinking.
Oh?
Maybe I could buy drinks for you and your friend.
Maybe, and then you can tell me about yourself.
Sure. And I want to know about you.
That was the beginning. We dated a lot after that. Then something happened that made a change in Jim.
I've written to that man I saw on television.
You mean that preacher?
Yeah, I was impressed by what he said about finding possibilities in ourselves instead of pessimistics.
Well, nothing wrong with that, but how does he say to do it?
He said, we find our new life in Jesus.
Oh, come on now.
What's the matter?
I don't want to hear anything about that Jesus bit.
Oh, you're prejudiced?
About that name? Yes, I don't want to hear it again.
I'd better tell about what happened next. I went all the way to California to talk to that man I had seen on TV. He asked me to pray for myself, and I did. I went back to Chicago a new convert to Christ, but a terribly ignorant one. Even so, my attitudes began to change. Back in Chicago, I made a new suggestion.
Did you say marriage?
Is that another dirty word?
Oh, well, not really. In fact, I think I like it.
Oh. Well, then call your family and tell them you're marrying a certified Greek Christian.
Maybe I'd better take this one thing at a time. We don't want to blow their minds. We had a big, expensive wedding in New York. Then, married and respectable, we returned to Chicago. The honeymoon, if you can call it that, lasted 2 weeks. Then, what had been a quite enjoyable relationship began to unravel.
In a moment, we'll learn what happened. First, though, let's have a little talk with Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, one of the things that interests me is the appeal that the Unshackled program seemed to have to young listeners. And the way we know this is through the mail that comes to us. Would you read us one of those letters?
I am 17 years old, and I've been listening to Unshackled for months. I really love to hear the stories about how people's lives have been changed when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I, too, have put my trust in Christ, and for a while it was difficult, and I was sometimes confused. But I found peace in Jesus and happiness from the stories that are told on Unshackled. I pray that young people all over the world will accept God's way of salvation.
That's a beautiful letter. Now, here's one that says, when Unshackled comes on, we're all ears, all six of us, regardless of age. Wonder how big a span that is. I urge my friends to listen also because it presents the power and positive work of Christ in these true life stories many times over. What else do you have there, Harry?
Here's a good one. I enjoy Unshackled especially because my children are drawn to it and listen with me.
Well, that's very short, very sweet. This one, I'm taking a moment to thank you for airing the program Unshackled. I'm 17 years old, committed my life to Christ a little over a year ago. Despite many disappointments and confusing opportunities, your program helps keep me turned toward Christ. Thanks again for Unshackled. Time for one more letter, Harry.
I would like to thank you for Unshackled. I have listened to the program for about 2 months now, and I feel that the true stories are very important and meaningful to young people my age.
We'd like to hear from you, too. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
The unraveling of the new marriage began when I discovered that Jim wasn't ready to allow me to dominate him. I didn't like housework and did as little of it as possible. And when it came to cooking, forget it.
I don't know why people gave us dishes for a wedding present.
Something wrong with the chinaware? You might as well know my mother has very good taste in such things.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, except that we never use it. No, I'll take that back. I do get to use a cereal bowl in the morning, but I've yet to see it on the dinner table.
You're complaining.
Yeah, you bet I'm complaining. Monday night we had the Italian dinner with meatballs. Tuesday it was the Mexican dinner with enchiladas. Last night it was the Salisbury steak dinner. Tonight it's pizza with pepperoni. And I suppose tomorrow night will be the sea harvest fish dinner.
Too much variety, maybe.
You call that variety? I've been eating off tinfoil trays with compartments for so long, I feel like I was eating Marine Corps chow again.
Just because you were brought up in the kitchen of a Greek restaurant, you expect everyone to be a hash house expert.
Once, just once, try preparing a meal from scratch, If I see another TV dinner, I'll feed it to the dog. In fact, I'm going to do that right now and go out for a sandwich. Come here, pumpkin.
I suppose you think that's very funny.
Yeah, you may be right. It might be cruelty to animals.
That's funny. He's not eating it.
No, that makes two of us. And it proves the dog is smarter than we thought.
The next night, I tried to make a big salad bowl from scratch. Jim watched me and seemed to think something was very funny.
Careful, the finger you cut off may be your own.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Look at that. You don't even know how to cut an onion.
You must be the most sadistic man since the Marquis died. I'm learning to hate you.
What are you crying about?
I'm not crying, it's the onion. I was teaching in a school then, but I was also ill almost all the time. In 3 months, I lost 18 pounds, and Jim gained 18 pounds. The marriage was in real trouble.
I'll explain this part. I know that I put my trust in Christ during that trip to the West Coast, but I wasn't growing at all. I think I realized that, and so I went looking for a place of worship. I was really impressed by what I heard there.
He certainly was, and he insisted that I go there with him. I did, but under protest. Our relationship was so bad that we decided not to sit together during the services to avoid the possibility that we'd get into a violent argument right there in church.
There is not the slightest shadow of doubt in my mind that this book, the Bible, is the inspired word of God. People ask, what is the subject of the Bible? My answer is the Bible is about the Son of God, Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh to dwell among us. Well, some say that's fine for the New Testament, but what about the Old Testament? I reply, Messiah, Jesus Christ, is referred to again and again and again throughout the Old Testament. The series begins in the third chapter of Genesis. God said to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In the sixth chapter, we read of Noah. And the ark is a type of Christ, the refuge of his people from judgment. Now take the book, learn from it, and you will find this path of promise. The promise is to God's chosen people and to the nations as well. Now look at Genesis 12. God said to Abram, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. There's the blessing to the descendants of Abraham. Now comes the blessing offered to the Gentiles. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Dear ones, follow that path of promise, and you will know that the central character and subject of the Bible is the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Because I was desperately unhappy, I was really seeking God. So I began reading the Bible, making notes and cross-checking. I found things I had never suspected were there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. At last I knew it had to be true. This Jesus of Nazareth was Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and I wanted this truth. Even more, I wanted the Savior. It took a year and a half for God to show me that I was a practicing sinner who was lost without the Savior. Then I began to change, and so did Jim. The friendship that became a disaster in marriage had now been redeemed, made new and good by the grace of God. My husband and I have found a ministry in helping people who say that their marriage can't be fixed. We know now that God can save any marriage. What Christ has done for us, he can do for anyone who trusts in him.
That is a very sweeping statement, but it is also a very true statement. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of The Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Take time this week to write and tell us that you're listening to Unshackled. And as you listen to the program, we hope that you're asking someone else to listen also. That's the way that more and more people learn to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. And, oh, here's something that we'd like to suggest. While you're writing a letter, write a letter to the manager of this radio station. In that letter, all you really have to say is, thank you very much for Unshackled. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. We hope you'll take time this week to write and let us know that you listen, because your letters are far more important than you think. The ones that we read you in the middle of this program brought us a great deal of happiness, and they were also very useful in that they told us who is listening, what sort of people are listening, and where. And it may happen that you or someone you know has had an experience in which Unshackled was used to bring them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd certainly like to know about that. Our address is Unshackled, care of Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312, is 922-1462. Someone who is concerned about you is waiting now to receive your call so that you can call confidently. Area 312-922-1462.